Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. This is Johnny Tan, author of From My Mama's Kitchen, Food for the Soul, Recipes for Living. Welcome to my weekly From My Mama's Kitchen Talk Radio show. Today is a special Valentine's Day broadcast. My guest for this morning is Kimberly Hart. She is a love and relationship expert. Kimberly and I will be discussing the secret to transforming your love life from her new book, Get Love. Good morning, Kimberly. Welcome to From My Mama's Kitchen Talk Radio. How are you doing this morning?
Good morning, Johnny. I'm absolutely wonderful. Thank you so much for having me.
It is my pleasure to have you on the air with me on my weekly kitchen hangout. Get Love is a wonderful read. Your focus and understanding of the subconscious mind and your step-by-step guide on how to create more than growth from within is a must-read for everyone. I really enjoyed the book very much. What really matters to me is the fact that you are focusing on making sure people make a paradigm shift in their love and relationship lives. So congratulations on your accomplishments.
Oh, thank you so much. For me, Get Love was absolutely a message of love. Mm-hmm. It was and is my gift to the world. We're only charging $3.99 for the book, and the reason for that is we want to have everyone to have an opportunity to take a different look at their relationships, take a different look at how they pattern their behavior, because there's a pandemic of loneliness, and I, for one, would like to play a part in ending that pain.
Wonderful. Let us get started by getting to know you a little better. Please give us a quick walkthrough of your life from childhood to the present moment.
I am the oldest girl of seven, raised in a very violent and unhappy home. By the time I was 12, when my father died, I and most of my siblings were pretty independent. I helped raise my brothers and sisters. But by the time I was 12, I was financially supporting myself as far as buying my own clothes and things like that. I was fortunate to be raised in a community where the school system was exceptional. So it was the school system that saw me through. You were raised in this particular school system to always believe you were going to college. No one ever said to you, well, do you have plans to go to college? It was expected that you would. Mm-hmm. So I did. And I became an overachiever as a way to mask the fact that I always felt unlovable, that I felt like that my love would never be enough. That love hurt, because in my home it did. Mm-hmm. And so from a very early age, I have a long list of the first to do, and it was just all a mask. It wasn't until I found my ways in my late 20s to my first mentor, where I began to take a look at just how damaged I was, because on the outside, I was the picture-perfect kid. I did all the things that you would hope an extraordinary child would do, but I was really wounded. And that began in my late 20s, a lifetime journey of growth, a lifetime journey of not giving myself any wiggle room when it came to wanting to move forward in my emotional life, as well, of course, as in my career. And my career has been varied. I have been in medicine, sociology, psychiatry, psychology. I have degrees in all. And what I know about degrees is they simply open doorways. What was much more important to me was the people who took me under the wing and taught me about their lives, taught me about business.
Yeah.
And so now I stand on the foundation of being happy almost every single day of my life. That's not a metaphor for me. I believe that happy is ground zero for all of us, not to wait till we die and go, oh, I finally got happy, but to figure out how to do that now.
Enjoying the journey is far more important.
Yes, and having the journey be what I call form follows function. It's a physics term. The journey for me is no longer accomplishing being the first woman to do something. The journey for me is now, what form what function do I want, and I will let the universe figure out the form. I want to be happy and joyous, and life needs to be an adventure, and I want to have positive impact and have significance and mattering. Those functions are what I strive for now, and the form falls in place.
Very interesting. You have obviously experienced a lot of things in your life. As you have mentioned, the different areas of expertise or career, so to speak, that you have pursued. What life epiphanies led you to pursue ultimately to be just focusing on relationships and love?
The first epiphany was that everything is a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Your relationship with nature, your relationship with yourself, your relationship with other people. It is all a relationship, and we do it so poorly most of the time. And more and more with the pandemic of loneliness, with the electronics we use to try to connect ourselves, which don't do a particularly good job at that, raising a whole millennial generation that is the loneliest generation we've ever raised. The epiphany was the pain in this world,
mm-hmm.
I would like to help mitigate. And as far as love, I so did not love myself that the journey of loving myself became a windy road, and I was fortunate to have mentors and people who took me under their wings to help me understand that I was lying to myself about how I loved myself. I didn't know anything really about love. I only know what it didn't do. And over the years, I was fortunate enough to learn what it did do. So for me, love's been a lifelong journey of learning all of its different facets. And relationships, those started out in teaching people how to have better relationships, first in their couple's life, because that's where my career started, and then with their children, and then it segued to business. Because as human beings, our common denominator is that we all want love and that we all relate.
That's true. All we want is to be recognized, respected, and validated, pretty much.
I think that people want to matter, want to have significance.
Right.
And I think we need to be careful to have other people validate us. I think part of what true self-love is that we know that we matter and that we have significance,
mm-hmm.
and that our connection with other people is finding a way to be more and more loving in the world. Not loving till it hurts. I don't believe
right.
in martyrdom. But I think
right.
our drive is to love and be loved. And another issue we have is receiving, because that's much more difficult than giving.
That's correct. Do you think that because of human nature, in terms of we are natural survivors, we tend to overprotect ourselves?
I think we overprotect ourselves if we were raised in pain.
Mm-hmm.
I know that there are children who are absolutely fearless because they're not raised in pain. A quick example, I was in Florence, and I was walking with my guide and her little girl, and it was dark, and we were heading home, and we crossed a bridge, and the little girl didn't cross the bridge. She took her bike down right across the stream and right up the other side, and her mother watched to make sure she was okay. But her mother never once said, "Be careful, that's dangerous, don't do that." This child was being raised to trust herself. So
right.
I think it depends on about how we are raised. And then the good news is when we leave our parents' home, regardless of how we were raised, we can begin to handcraft our own life. We can essentially re-raise ourselves.
That's basically taking responsibility of ourselves, realizing that we are the architect of our future.
Exactly. We
Wonderful.
Are exactly the architect of our future. And that is the one of the main tenets of Get Love, How to Transform Your Love Life, is the whole second half of the book is about this is how you take your power back and this is how you craft your life.
What is the compelling reason for you to write Get Love?
I didn't sit down to write Get Love. I sat down to write a book on what it is to be a consigliere in business, and this
mm-hmm.
is what came out. I really think that I was guided to write this book. I had previously written a relationship book in the early 90s when fairy tale romances break real hearts, and that book did well. I did not sit down to write another relationship book. This book took me by the heart and said, write me.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting. So how is Get Love different from other relationship books out there?
I think it's different because of the vulnerability in the book. People continually say to me, I can't believe you told people that. The first half of the book is love letters between Adam and myself. Mm-hmm. And it's how the relationship started, how it grew, and what happened in the relationship, which I won't talk about in this interview because I want you to read the book and find out the
right
mystery. And that self-vulnerability, that
mm-hmm.
willingness to be humble, that level of willingness to expose myself to the world is absolutely, in my mind, key to being a leader, key to teaching. If I'm not willing to be vulnerable, how in the world can I ask my clients to do the same? If I'm
yeah.
not willing
yeah.
to really know that vulnerability is an incredible strength. And I say that, Johnny, for the following reasons. It is not the perfection we love in each other. It is not the achievements or anything that is a performance that we love in each other. We might admire that. We might respect that. But love it? No. We love each other's vulnerabilities. We love each other's humanness. And I wanted to gift my humanness in this book. So the first half of the book are love letters that expose how love can grow, how you can use words to grow love. And the second half of the book is a step-by-step recipe, if you will, on how to access your subconscious mind and change it. Because your subconscious mind is where all your beliefs are stored. And as
mm-hmm.
you know, Johnny, your beliefs create your reality.
So true. One of the interesting things about the way your approach to love is the fact that you talk about writing your thoughts, your feelings, being vulnerable on paper. One of the things that I know for sure in writing, what it does is that it allows you to really regroup, put a lot of thoughts. And whenever you write, I'm saying that most of the time, especially in this particular case, we are not reactionary. We are taking our time, we are organizing our thoughts, and we're really putting our feelings on paper. Versus in a verbal communication, we are actually sort of reactionary. We have a split second to think how to react to and response. So I like the fact that you wrote everything down. And, of course, people don't do that anymore. And you and I talk about this. How do you communicate your through feelings in 140 characters?
Yes, we did. And it's very difficult to do. I don't know anyone who doesn't want to get a love letter.
Right.
I don't know anyone once they move past, oh, I can't really write, who wouldn't like to express their heart.
Right.
And we call them love missives, Adam and I. But
mm-hmm.
in the book, and referring to them as love letters is absolutely correct because that's what they are. We did take the time to write to each other, and some of our letters we both spent hours
mm-hmm.
putting together because love matters. Taking the time to express your love matters. Taking the time to express your unease or your fear or that you're angry, that all matters in a relationship. If you don't want to take the time to express yourself, to grow the relationship, then I might suggest you really don't want a relationship.
Yeah, yeah. One thing also I think that helps when you talk about being able to communicate effectively in writing your thoughts down and your feelings down, you are actually you and the paper. That's it. You don't have anyone else in the room. So from a psyche standpoint of view, and we're going to talk a little bit more about this, obviously, because your approach is strictly from the subconscious mind, that somewhere along the line should give you some sort of peace of mind, being able to express yourself and be vulnerable.
I agree. I think it gives you peace of mind, and I think it grows your ability to love.
Mm-hmm.
Because as you search for those words, as you pay attention to what you're really feeling in the moment, as you take that breath and go, oh, this is what I'm feeling, and then you share it, that is not only peace of mind, it is sharing your grace. And sharing your grace, whatever that happens to be in a relationship, is key. Grace means that you do what comes naturally to you in the world. Some people say that that's your talent, but it is your grace. And one of both Adam's and my grace is the ability to find the words to share what we feel.
The only way you find those words to express yourself is through visualization. So as you have this sort of movie playing in your mind, that's what you use to express your feelings.
I think some people absolutely are visual that way and have that movie in their minds. I think some people are auditory and they hear it in their heart. And I think some people are kinesthetic and they feel it in their body. I think all of it is worthy of expressing in words on paper.
Fantastic. Who would benefit most from this book?
Anyone who is willing to risk love. And I use the words with great caution.
Yeah.
If you're willing to risk love, sometimes it's no longer something you want to do. And there's a really interesting fact that most people pay no attention to, and that is a third of the world's population wants to find a lifelong partner, a soulmate, if you will.
Yeah.
But a third of the world's population does not want to spend the next 50 years with one person. The thought of that terrifies them. What they want is to have consecutive relationships. I will stay in this relationship as long as I'm in love, and when I'm no longer in love, it's totally okay with me to move to the next relationship. And with longevity being 120 years now, for many people, it will become consecutive relationships, and no relationship is a failure. And a third of the world doesn't want a romantic relationship at all. They prefer to get their needs for love and intimacy met through their friends, through their family.
Mm-hmm.
And we in our society make it so wrong not to want a relationship that that one-third of our population stays hidden. Because if they would say, I don't want a relationship, I choose not to do that in this lifetime, you would think in your heart, oh, something really happened, this person's really damaged. No, not necessarily at all. And so it's really important with Valentine's Day, just a few days away, that we pay attention to what our needs are. Are we really looking for a partner for a lifetime? Are we looking for a partner until that relationship is over? Are we not looking at all? Valentine's Day too often is being used by friends and family to hurt us with what's wrong with you, you're not in a relationship. And I know Johnny does, and I do want to take this opportunity to let you know that whatever is true for you is exactly right.
Very interesting thought. Let me answer this. A lot of times also I think it's the hurt, because you want to get close to someone, and then all this past experiences that you have, the hurt comes back so quickly. So you have your defense up. You have your shield up because you want to protect yourself. You don't want to get hurt again. How does one overcome that?
Oh, I think that's so true. I know for myself, because I grew up in a home that was so violent, that I believe that love hurt. So because my subconscious mind is so powerful, and how the subconscious mind works is it has two functions. Its first function is to store all information you've ever been exposed to, and the function we care about is that it stores all our beliefs, and those beliefs are around love, and those beliefs are around hurt, and those beliefs are around trust, and those beliefs are around economics and money and business. Your beliefs create your reality. There's a period at the end of the sentence. There is no caveat. Mm-hmm. Your beliefs create your reality. And we know that because we have tried, each one of us in our lives, to overcome a pattern we have.
Mm-hmm.
And therapy didn't work. Affirmations didn't work. Prayer didn't work. Meditation didn't work. We always ended up back in the same soup. And that's not because there's something innately wrong with you. It's because the orders in your subconscious mind, tells the subconscious mind to attract this into your life. Your subconscious mind is this huge magnet that you cannot overcome its force, because, for instance, if you walk into a room and you have a history of love hurting, and there are 99 people in the room, you will choose the two to be attracted to that will hurt you, because that's the order. Love hurts. So you will automatically be attracted to the people in the room who are going to take you for a ride. Now, that's the bad news. The good news is you are the boss of your subconscious mind. You can rewrite the orders you have. So if you have love hurts and it always ends up hurting, you can change it to love heals.
Right.
And then love will always end up healing, because you're absolutely right. Until we overcome our past hurts, until we move to a place where the past no longer rides us like someone with spurs on our behind, and we walk into the room and we go, I'm going to be hurt again, I just know it. When we do that, we actually set up the situation of hurt.
So true. And then on the other hand also, you have situations whereby you do fantasize. You do want to have that wonderful relationship. You want to meet that soulmate that everyone craves for and so forth. And then when you get to that point, the initial response, it may be the right person. And all of a sudden right now, you are experiencing this fear from within, rather than embracing it because you think, oh my God, is this the right one? So you go through this whole process of being self-destruction, basically.
Yes, it is self-sabotage. We say, is this the right one? And what we really mean is this the one that will love me?
Right.
And back to form follows function. Don't make a list of the perfect attributes of your partner, the one you want. Make a list of how you want to feel when you're with them. Cherished and loved and precious and as if you matter, respected. Make that list. And when we walk into a relationship with the past riding us and we haven't done the work to walk through the pain, we are not gifting somebody else with a happy, whole human being who can add to their lives, who doesn't give them the burden of making your life work, your life happy, come into my life and make me work. Adding that to the burden of something that already takes immense focus, a relationship, is pretty well a formula for failure. And so nothing changes until you do. If your relationships don't work, heal the past and learn how to reprogram your subconscious mind.
Why do people have difficulty in changing themselves, though?
Because it's so scary. Change, no one likes change. It's so scary. And the reason why it's scary, it's walking into the unknown. And to address more directly your question about fear, life was supposed to be a big rocket ship of love. And you were supposed to use love to motivate you. And on the side were two little directional jets that were fear. So when you're walking down a path and you get too close to the edge of the cliff, fear makes your knees shake and you back off. And you get back onto the path of love. And someone you're attracted to, you just know is going to cream your heart. Just step all over it. But it sounds so exciting and they're handsome or they're beautiful. But fear should move you back onto the path of love. And change means that you're stepping into something that you don't know yet. You can't be in control. Now, here's another very important love secret, and that is control and love cannot exist in the same space. So if you are so frightened because you have not yet healed the pain of the past, that you bring that into a relationship and put your shields up, as you described, Johnny, and you go in shields forthright and control the situation, you have absolutely ruled out love, because they cannot exist in the same space.
Very interesting. You have four steps in the book that helps people to change from within. Let's talk about that.
These are the four steps of accessing your subconscious mind so that you can change your beliefs. Your beliefs create your reality. Every major business book, every major self-help book in today's world says you must change your beliefs in order to change your reality, because we've learned about not all that long ago, 30, 35 years ago, that it is absolutely true that your beliefs create your reality. But the sad part is, they tell you that you must do it, but they don't share how, because too many of the helping professions don't know how yet. And I want to end that with Get Love, How to Transform Your Love Life. And the first step is to notice what it is you want to change. And it's called recognize. What is it you want to change? And I suggest that you figure out what you believe. And the first thing people do is, oh, that's so overwhelming. No, it's not. Sit down with your best friend and they'll tell you exactly what you believe about love because they watch you do it every day. You can't hide what you believe because your life is a living example of what you believe. If you believe that men betray, they will. If you believe that women always want to change you, then they will. Whatever it is you believe becomes real in your life. So the first thing to do is to recognize what it is that you want to change. And that's not going to be hard at all, because just look at your life and you'll know what belief that you want to change. And what I suggest in the book is you choose just one. And together, I take you by the hand and we walk through it, because the second step is to acknowledge. Why did you hang on to this belief so long? Why did I hang on to love hurts for so long? The belief I talk about in the book is no one's going to love me the way I want to be loved. Why did I hang on to that for so long? What was I trying to avoid? What feeling was I not willing to give up? Who did I want to blame for that? I wanted the divine to come down and put their arm around me and say, it'll be okay, Kimberly, if you change. I promise you, you won't be hurt. I often got lost in self-pity or self-importance, and I clung to the past. In the step of really recognizing why you hung on to it, those seven questions are asked, and there is nothing that would stand in your way of resisting love that those questions can't reveal. Third step, forgive yourself. Forgiveness is important in every area of our life. But in love, it becomes a linchpin. It becomes key. If we can't forgive ourselves for the pain we've allowed in our lives in the past, we will not move forward. And if we cannot forgive ourselves for why we hurt other people with our beliefs, we won't move forward. We are not going through and forgiving every situation. No, what the second step shows is why we did it. And we can have compassion for that wounded part of us. We can have compassion for the part of us that was so wounded that it behaved in that way. And the fourth step, to access your subconscious mind and to change. And I walk you through the visualization to do that. Acknowledge what it is that you did after you recognize. So recognize, acknowledge, forgive, and change. Four steps you can sit down at your kitchen table and do. Get a friend, do it together so that you don't have any wiggle room as far as lying to yourself. Get a book group together. Join me at getlove.com and take the special four-part class where we're going to walk you through each one of the steps. Listen to what Johnny shares with his inspirational guests every week. They will show you different parts of how to really look at yourself. Recognize, acknowledge, forgive, and change is the very powerful step of reprogramming the beliefs you have that run your life.
That's wonderful. The biggest challenge I find that when I talk to people is, you mentioned this before, it's wonderful to give, and yet it's very difficult to receive. And so when you start receiving this affection, when you start receiving this attention, even though you consciously are welcoming it, but there's a fear in you in terms of like, oh my gosh, is this for real? Or when they find out about me or this and so forth, that giving is not real anymore. That expression of love is no longer real. How do you handle that?
I think it's a beautiful question, Johnny. Receiving is truly the most vulnerable thing we can do. It is the receiver who gives the biggest gift, because when we see that our love changes someone else by simply being in our presence, it moves us to a level of self-acceptance that we have not experienced before. If we feel that we're a fraud and we will be uncovered, if we feel that our love is not good enough, if we feel that we are not good enough, that we are not lovable, those beliefs that cause those feelings, those will get in your way. How you deal with them is you take them one at a time and you change them. You walk through the feelings that they cause. stuffing your feelings in your body will only cause illness. And I encourage you not to do this alone. I didn't do it alone. I've had mentors that saw me through my life. I've had one mentor, the same mentor for the last 34 years now, mm-hmm. and another mentor that I have brought on board for the last 7 years. And I speak to one or the other of my mentor almost every single week of my life. The reason I do that is I don't have the right to share with you how to grow if I'm not continually growing. And then I'll say in the next breath, growing is not enough. Growing is not change. Change is something different. And that's why you've read all these books, you've attended all these seminars, and you end up in the same place. You've had these wonderful insights, but you end up in the same place because you didn't change. You grew. Let's elevate this to growth. And one very significant way to grow is to reprogram your subconscious mind. We have three minds. Our first mind is our conscious mind, and that is the only mind with choice. Your subconscious mind's a computer. It takes the orders you gave, usually before you were 7 years old, and it makes sure your life has exactly what you ordered life to be. You sat down, you formed a recipe, and in the recipe, you created life. And those orders, those ingredients, are called beliefs. Your unconscious mind, we're just beginning to understand. But your subconscious mind, we understand pretty well at this point. It is exceedingly powerful. It is so powerful, we can't even fathom it. Can you imagine? You've worked your whole life to clear your feelings. You think you've done the work, but you still secretly have a belief in my love isn't good enough. And you go into a relationship and you choose the right person this time. They are absolutely everything you want them to be. But somehow, 6 months into the relationship, they're changing right in front of your eyes and becoming the person that you always pulled in. That's your subconscious mind making sure that your life is ruled by the orders you gave it. Change the orders. We know how to do that.
Certainly. That bears down to one's self-esteem, because if you are not feeling that you are worthy of receiving, then you will not receive it, I presume, in this case.
Absolutely. Self-esteem earns self-love. What you do in the world to earn your own love. Worth, it's really tough to wrestle with self-worth, because you see, we are all born with the right to have all the goodness, all the happiness, all the love that the world has to offer. And we were taught, for almost all of us, that we were not worthy, that we had to earn the grace of love. It's not true. But until you go in as an adult and deal with that wounded child who believes that they're not worthy, until you stand between the wounded child and you in the world and the world and how the world behaves, until you can change your beliefs, because the minute you change your beliefs, the world changes. The hardship, the struggle, that ends. And you go, how did that happen? You change your belief, and your subconscious mind will make sure that your belief creates your reality. It's not just changing your beliefs about love. What Get Love will give you is how to change your beliefs about anything.
So true, so true. How does one create vulnerability, intimacy, and humility in their relationship?
Oh, such a wonderful question. As I mentioned, it is not our perfection that we love. It is our vulnerability that we love in someone else. It's what makes us want to hold them and cherish them and feed our love into them. And I'm not talking about the victim part of them. I'm talking about the beautiful vulnerability that they expose their heart, that you know you could absolutely destroy this person because they've opened up their heart that much. The honoring of that makes you treat them with more care, with more gentleness, with more respect, because they have agreed to be vulnerable to you. That is the foundation of true relationships. Humility. Humility means allowing every day to be new. We all have things about us that our partner finds incredibly irritating, And what we do is when we wake up in the morning, we expect them to be the same person they were when they went to bed that night. What if, just imagine this, what if what would happen in humility is you would wake up and you would allow them to be a different person? The things that irritate you, some of their character flaws, some of the things that they do that are not healthy. What if you would provide them the room to be different that day?
Mm-hmm.
What if you would provide yourself the room to be different that day? That's how there is room for change. You don't hold in place. You don't have an expectation that they will be the same. You don't have an agenda that they will be the same. And intimacy and love is different. Get Love is one of three in a three-part series. Get Love, Get Intimacy, Get Sex. And I divide it up so we can understand it together and separately, because we don't understand love. Love is like a tide. It goes out and it comes in. And when it's in, you're head over heels in love with this person. You've made the best decision in your life to be with them. And on the day that the tide goes out, you look across the breakfast table and you go, what am I doing with this person? And then the love comes back in and you go, oh, there it is. I love you so much. And you keep it secret. You are ashamed. Mm-hmm. You don't want to tell the person, I didn't love you last week, as if they don't already know. Because love is this fluid, flexible thing. It is intimacy that holds a relationship in place. Close, open, tender, vulnerable, trusting. Oh, there's a key one. Knowing, mm-hmm. caring. It is when you wake up and you don't love that person that day, or love isn't easily accessed is probably a better way to say it, mm-hmm. you care about them, you know them, you have trust in them. That holds you in the relationship when love is out doing something else. And mm-hmm. too many relationships end when the wave of love is out, and then you create some huge fight because you don't love them anyways, and what's the point? And you leave, or you are in the same house, but you do something, or you say something that's not true, and you break trust, which then makes big trouble, all because you didn't understand how love really works, and the bond of intimacy didn't hold you in the relationship. Being vulnerable, the foundation of love, what we need so that someone can really love us, and what we need from them so we can really have a place to put our love. Intimacy, the glue that holds relationships together, and humility, allowing ourselves and the other to be new, allowing room for growth, allowing room for miracles to drop in.
That's fabulous. I have something to contribute to you. My dance partner and I, we teach couples retreat. And one of the things that I talk about is to tell either one of the couples to tell each other, how can I contribute to your happiness and joy today, every morning when they get up?
That's beautiful.
It sets their mind in a different state, so to speak.
Absolutely does. That's a beautiful exercise.
When you talk about vulnerability, intimacy, and you talk about the third part, the sex, the interesting part about love generates the rest two and three, because the two and three are result of love. When you look at things through the lens of love, then you will have this fluidity, the flow, your entire psyche change. And then we talk a little bit about this in terms of being authentic. You have to be authentic. The true you never change. That's the core value that you talk about as well in your book. So let's talk a little bit about that in terms of being authentic and humble.
I think that being authentic is key to being vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
I think that risking authenticity is how you know you're really loved. People put on these masks. We have classes that teach ourselves how to package ourselves so that the other gender or the other person that we want to pull into our lives finds us appealing, finds us alluring, finds us mysterious. We learn what dates are supposed to look like. We spend all this time and energy packaging ourselves so that we're lovable. not trusting that we are lovable. And sometimes the truth is we're not very lovable. Our behavior is not lovable. The pain in our lives that we have yet to deal with makes us unlovable. We are not reachable. What unlovable means is you're not reachable. No one can get in there to love you.
Right.
And most importantly, you haven't yet done the journey to love yourself.
Yeah.
Because I truly believe until you love yourself, what you bring to another relationship is not what you could bring if you would love yourself. Because as you say, through the lens of love, how about another way of looking at that is through the lens of self-love. You only create in your life situations with the other person that are reflecting your self-love back to you. And when two people who are healthy and absolutely love themselves come together, and there also is this chemistry that is impossible to create, but it is there, when that happens, whoa, all sorts of, not just fireworks go off, what we call it an accord of the heart, a bonding of the heart happens in such a way that time becomes irrelevant. Whether you met them a moment ago or 10 years ago, that accord of the heart holds.
So true. The interesting part about what you just said is that all of a sudden right now, intimacy and sex is highly enriched by just doing that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It is a whole different ball game when you love yourself and when you trust that your love is worth giving. It's a the life changes. The paradigm of love shifts. Who you will be on the other side of that paradigm shift is absolutely different than you are. The book talks about a paradigm shift I had. Took 2 days, and I was a different person at the other side of it. Not just behaving differently. I was rewired. I was different. Paradigm shifts of self-love changes the quality of the love you have in your life.
For people who are already in relationships, how can you know if your relationship is heading off track?
We always know. If you're paying attention, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not paying attention, it's because you don't want to know. We always know. For some people, it's visceral. We know it in our gut. There's something off. We know there's something off. We can't put our fingers on it, but it's something off. And we won't open our mouths. We won't say, hey, there's something off between us. Let's sit down. Neither one of us are leaving this room till we figure out what it is. That would be an incredibly respectful thing to do for yourselves in the relationship. You see, there's three living forces in a relationship. There's you, there's your partner, and there's the relationship. And you have other people to feed you. They have other people to feed you. The relationship only has two people that can feed it, and that is you and your partner. You know there's something off, and if you choose to avoid it, you have added one nail in the coffin of the relationship because it will rear its ugly head. And if the other person says, you know what, I don't have it figured out yet, but I promise you I will come back to you and we can discuss that, give them the room. But get a time limit on the promise. It can never be more than 72 hours. That is just disrespectful to you because you will be concerned for that length of time.
Yeah.
So never more than 72. 24 is better. Sometimes when we ask the question, what's going on with you?
Yeah.
What's going on with us? It takes time to figure it out. Now, I'm the type of person that likes to sit down and hash it out with my partner. But sometimes my partner needs some space to figure it out. And out of love, I, of course, give that space.
That's correct. But the good news is the ability to have that open communication, to be honest about the situation. I think a lot of people live in fear of not wanting to know, like you mentioned about. But most importantly, they're denying reality simply because they're afraid of what could possibly happen.
Oh, yes. We start a relationship, as I mentioned, because we package ourselves so often with a whole bunch of lies. A whole bunch of lies. I'm going to sit and watch football with you because that's how I'm going to let you know that I care about you, but I hate football, and the minute we're in a relationship, I'm never watching another game again. In fact, I wish you would come home and insist on watching football. A trite example. But one we all can shake our heads at and go, yep, people do that. Mm-hmm. Well, what do you do in your relationship when you first go in that's a lie?
Yeah.
That's a lie by omission, and I talk in my book about how I lied to Adam by omission, something I didn't share with him that I should have. We talk about telling bold lies. People do dating online. They describe themselves,
yeah.
and then when they meet, it's not the same person. And you wonder if you thought that the person was never going to meet.
Mm-hmm.
It's important that we start our relationships with honesty, because if we're going to be rejected, let it be for who we really are and not some lie.
Right.
If we are in relationships where we have not yet had the courage to be vulnerable enough to tell the whole truth, start it gently. Start it gently. People have these rules. Well, I've been unfaithful to my spouse, and if I tell them the relationship is over and it doesn't hurt the relationship for me to live the lie, oh, sure it does. Oh, sure it does. Because on some level, they know that you've betrayed them. And you can make pretty words of it, but you've betrayed them, and you've betrayed the love. And not facing it and risking the loss of the relationship, holding that lie means you've already lost the relationship. The depth of vulnerability and intimacy has been eroded the minute you betrayed them. The moment you betrayed yourself, the moment you betrayed love. Oh, Kimberly, that's so harsh. No, it just happens to be the plain, honest truth. That's what you did. Now, does that make you unforgivable? Absolutely not. The other person might not be able to forgive you, but you could forgive yourself, and that's the key, is forgiving yourself and taking a look at why you felt a need to be a betrayer in the first place. Oh, it didn't really matter. It meant nothing. Such lies. It meant everything. It meant everything. And you, back to honesty, were not being honest enough with yourself to know there was something way off. So you stepped outside your relationship. Was the relationship not feeding you the way you wanted it to, and did you refuse to open your mouth and tell them what you needed and risk them choosing not to deliver it? And that's why we won't share. What if the other person decides not to deliver it? What if you don't say what you want, what you need, they're not going to deliver it anyways. Or when they do, it'll be a fluke. Much better to go in honest. Much better to risk rejection in the beginning. Because what you're risking more of is love. See, we think we're risking rejection. We're not. We're risking true love, which will change us, and then we're back to change. Love changes us, and that means we move into the unknown, and the unknown means we don't know, and that causes anxiety. And sadly, too many of us are willing to be in absolute pain rather than the anxiety of the unknown. So we stay in incredibly painful situations because we don't know what's beyond the doors of pain. That's why you don't do this alone. That's why you get help.
Right. What does a truly successful loving relationship look like?
I think it looks different for everybody, and I was just talking to a friend about that. What a true loving relationship looks like is now being open to more variety than ever before. For instance, there are people who are getting married who never intend to live together. They have two separate homes. They meet certain days of the week, and that is their loving relationship, and it works wonderfully well. And the outside world would go, oh, come on, that's not really a relationship. Oh, yes, it is. There are people who live together right away. They decide to share their home and their space right away, and for them, that is a loving relationship. Those are just components of a loving relationship. It's how you choose to create the form of the relationship. What a loving relationship really feels like, the function of it, is how you know whether you're in love. Do you feel safe? Do you feel secure? Do you feel loved? Do you feel cared for? Do you feel known? Do you feel respected? How you know whether someone loves you is if you feel those things. How they know whether you love them is if you behave towards them in such a way that they feel those things. Those are the function of love.
Can you be the authentic you at all times?
Yes.
That will be the most important thing.
Yes.
If you can do that, then you are loved and you're loving that person as well.
And it's important to recognize that being authentic might mean you're crazy that day.
That's right.
I've got a relationship rule. You both can't be crazy on the same day because you could blow the relationship up. So if you're having a crazy day, announce it. I'm having a crazy day. That puts your partner on notice. They have to be stable that day. Or they can tell you, you're having a crazy day.
Yeah,
I'm going to be really stable today. So go ahead, be crazy, because I got it. You're crazy today. See,
right.
Being authentic doesn't mean being this Stedford wife automaton who does everything right. No.
Yeah.
Being authentic means you share all of your feelings, the messy ones and the stellar ones.
What is the first step a person can take on the journey to start having a healthy and sustained relationship?
Know yourself. Get to know yourself. What do you really want? What type of relationship do you really want? Leave society behind and their expectations of you. Do you really want a relationship? Do you want a relationship for now, and if it lasts 10 years, great. If it lasts 10 months, great. Do you want the love of your life for as long as you live? Start out by telling yourself the truth and getting to know yourself. The second step is end the pain of the past. End the pain of the past because you bring it into your relationships. Oh, but Kimberly, that means I might not have a relationship for 1 or 2 years because that's the time it's going to take to get through my past. Okay, that's fine. But I guarantee you in those 2 years are going to grow and be happier than you've ever been. And guess what? There's no one in your life that's in the place of a romantic relationship, and you are as happy as you've ever been. Whoa.
Right.
Think about that concept. Then when you bring somebody in, you're already incredibly happy. What that relationship then does is lift you both to a level you never believed you could have gotten to in this lifetime. The first step, learn to love yourself.
So true. Do you have to be in a committed relationship to be happy?
No, absolutely not. In fact, I would like to suggest that if a committed relationship is the only way you are happy, that relationship is not as stellar, as high, as life-changing, and have as many epiphanies as you can have as it could be. It might be a wonderfully good relationship, but it will not be the relationship that you always dreamed upon. There will always be something missing because your expectation is that the other person must provide you with what only you can provide yourself with, which is self-esteem, self-confidence, self-respect, self-love. Only you, the first in all those descriptions is self. Only you can do that. And when you expect someone else to do that, you put a burden on them that is incredibly unfair. Absolutely. Ground zero, happy almost every day and not having a romantic relationship in sight, the planet would turn on its axis on that day that people agreed that that's how they were going to do it. And then they were going to go out and give their love in the world, and they would shine so brightly that they would have a plethora of people who wanted to be with them, and you could choose the one that works best for you.
However, at the same time, I mean, if you are truly looking for a committed relationship, then that's who you need to be dating in the first place.
If you're truly looking for a committed relationship based on the foundation of self-love, then you will pull someone in. By the law of attraction, when two vibrating forces come together, given enough time, they will vibrate in harmony. It's a law of physics. If you are filled with self-love, you will pull someone in who will be in harmony with you. If you are looking for a committed relationship so you have a place to put your love, not a place to get love, of course you will get love. But if you're looking for a place to put your love, if you're looking for a place to share and to give and to get and to receive, and it's on the foundation of self-love, you will, in your combined love, change everyone around you, because now everybody else has hope, because look at what you created. And you'll even be able to tell them how you did it.
Fantastic. What happens when I love my partner more than he or she loves me?
That simply means that somebody is receiving less than the other. Now, if you are in love with someone and they have said to you, listen, my type of love for you is different.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
you agree to be in that relationship, and it always causes you harm because you're not being loved the way you want to be loved, and I suggest you have the same belief system I had. I will never be loved the way I want to be loved. And if you agree to be in that relationship because you love them so much and they do not love you in the same way or in the way that you want to be loved, and you're really clear that you've explained what it is that you want, and they choose not to deliver it or it's just not there for them, then you have chosen to be in the relationship that will cause you pain your entire life. And I suggest you reconsider that.
Always remember now the fact that you are pursuing this unhealthy relationship, then you cannot expect to change it because you only change yourself. You can't change your partner. Isn't that correct?
Yes, exactly. Nothing changes until you do. As you change, all the laws of physics come into play and everything around you changes. Will the other person love you more? No way of knowing. No way of knowing. But you will love you more.
Wonderful. Where can someone go to buy your book, get more information about you, and keep up with your latest happenings?
Oh, well, thank you. The website is getlove.com. On Amazon, just put on the search engine Get Love, and you will see Get Love, How to Transform Your Love Life by Kimberly Hart. And again, I'd like to invite you to join me for the four-part class. The book's only $3.99 because I want everyone to have it. I'm happy in this very inexpensive $97 class that will meet four times, and then there'll be a fifth time bonus, and we will walk you through, you and I together, you're not alone. We'll walk you through all four steps of accessing your subconscious mind so you can transform your love life, and that's not hyperbole. You actually can handcraft your love life.
Do you think that everyone can transform themselves?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And here's why I say that. Mm-hmm. No one who is actually crazy ever asks themselves the question, am I crazy? No one who doesn't want to change actually asks themselves the question, can I change? Of course you can. You wouldn't ask the question if it wasn't available to you. Anybody can change. It's like Dorothy and the red slippers. She always had the power to go home. She just had to click it three times and imagine herself home. You have always had the power to change your life by forming an alliance with your subconscious mind. You just didn't know how. Get Love teaches you how. Take advantage of that. Take the power of your life back. Think about it. You can handcraft your love life. You can handcraft your love. You no longer have to be the victim of anything that's ever happened to you.
Fantastic. By the way, we're coming close to the end of the hour. Since our show is about people, family, and living life, would you like to share a recipe for living with our listeners this morning?
I absolutely would. Love yourself. Do the work it takes, because you will be then a gift to your family. You'll be a gift to the world. And when you lay in bed at night, don't wait till you're on your deathbed. When you lay in bed at night, you will think, I am happy almost every day, and from happiness, where could I catapult myself? That's the recipe. Love yourself.
Wonderful. Kimberly, thank you for the great recipe for living and for spending this hour with me on From My Mama's Kitchen Talk Radio. It has been a pleasure hanging out with you this morning. A very happy Valentine's Day to you and your loved ones.
Thank you so much, and a very happy Valentine's Day to you as well.
Thank you. To all our listeners, thank you for being with us. Please join me next Tuesday morning. My guest will be Mallory Kasdan. She is a writer and voice actor. She writes about parenting and culture and does voiceovers for television and radio. Mallory and I will be discussing her debut children's book titled Ella. For additional information about this show and future shows, please go to fmmktalkradio.com. Thank you for listening and have a blessed week. And happy Valentine's Day to everyone. Bye-bye.